Hi there, working homeschool mom. This is Charlotte from Charlotte Jones 24/7 and My Little Homeschool. And this is episode number 127 of the Strike a Balance podcast for working homeschool moms. If you're new here, welcome. A little bit about me. I'm a coach for new working homeschool moms, and I'll help you figure out the messy beginning so you can take your first steps with confidence. And if you're returning, welcome back. Thank you for spending some of your precious time with me today. Today, I welcome Kathy Sullivan onto the podcast. Kathy is the owner of Talent Principles, which is an executive coaching and organizational development consultancy. And she speaks a lot about working moms, and she has a lot of experience helping women to navigate the challenges of integrating work and life and advancing their careers. And the topic of balance has come up once again. Like I said in the last episode, it's something that comes up so often that I even named the podcast after it. But it's always so interesting to hear what different women think about the concept of balance. Kathy has many years of experience working with working moms. So it's really interesting to hear her take on what balance means. She's also the author of a book called Moms Eat First, which I absolutely love. It's such a cool name. And it speaks so much about this idea of balance, of self-care, of prioritizing ourselves as working moms. A fantastic episode. I'm sure you're going to absolutely love it. But before we get to the episode, I'd be ever so grateful if you could rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast, or you could forward it to a working mom who's thinking about homeschooling so that I can support her in that crazy beginning where it's difficult to think about what the first steps are to take. Thank you so much and enjoy the episode. Hi there and welcome to the Strike a Balance podcast for working homeschool moms. This is Charlotte Jones. I'm your host and I am a podcaster, a speaker, a writer, and a homeschooling coach specifically for working homeschool moms. I've been homeschooling my neurodivergent twin boys since 2017, and I've been a working homeschool mom since 2017. So I know it can feel really overwhelming to keep all the balls in the air all the time. So each week I chat about tips and strategies for being a happy and thriving working homeschool mom. I cover things like time management, homeschooling, mindset, and lots of other juicy topics like that. I also speak to awesome and inspiring women who manage to juggle homeschooling and work successfully and find out what their secrets are. And I also welcome experts who can help you on your working homeschool mom journey. I have lots of ways to support you, so be sure to check them out in the show notes. You can download my time audit as your first step to managing your time better. I have a Facebook group for working homeschool moms that you can join as well. And be sure to sign up to my newsletter for weekly updates. And if you need additional support, you can join the WHM Collective, which is a supportive community of working homeschool moms where we delve deeper into topics that are going to help you thrive as a working homeschool mom. Or if you need one-to-one support, be sure to book in a session with me. I'm so excited for you to be here, and I know you'll get so much value out of this episode. So let's get started. Working homeschool mom, I know how overwhelming it can be to choose a math curriculum for your homeschool. That's why I'd like to tell you about the online math curriculum we've been using for years, ctcmath.com. As far as math curriculums go, it has loads of great features that solve lots of the math issues we've had, and I know a lot of homeschooling families have. Here are just a few of the many features that we really like. Questions are adaptive, which means the interactive questions change in difficulty depending on the student's ability. The program uses a smart algorithm that tracks the student's progress and delivers questions based on their exact needs. The student doesn't even know this is happening, helping them to build confidence and master math concepts. Concepts are delivered through video tutorials and summaries, which are clear, complete, and easy to follow. It's like having your very own teacher. This ensures your children understand something before they're asked to practice it. And then for us parents, CTC Math has extensive reports, which are so valuable in monitoring your child's progress and spotting any gaps. And they offer a 12-month money-back guarantee if this curriculum is not for you and your family. CTC will provide a full refund, no questions asked. But I think the most important thing is a whole lot less stress when it's math time for both parents and kids. You get to outsource math with confidence, and your kids get a fantastic tailor-made program that makes learning and mastering math enjoyable and positive. Visit CTC Math today to start your free trial. CTC Math is also offering you, listener, an amazing special. When you go to ctcmath.com/MLH, you can get a half price discount plus a bonus 6 months for free. That's ctcmath.com/MLH. Today, I'm welcoming Kathy Sullivan onto the podcast. Kathy is owner of Talent Principles and Executive Coaching and Organizational Development Consultancy. She helps organizations improve performance leadership development programs, coaching, and leading transformation. She is a certified change management practitioner and has coached working moms for many years. Her focus has been on helping moms navigate the challenges of integrating work and life and advancing their careers. Kathy resides in Ohio and is a single parent to two children. Welcome to the podcast, Kathy. I'm so happy to chat to you today.
Thank you for having me.
So we're going to be talking about something that I know my audience who are working homeschool moms are going to get so much value from. And that is how moms can prioritize themselves. So very important. So let's jump in. What challenges have you seen in your years of experience coaching working moms? What are the kind of challenges that they would face in the workplace?
It varies, Charlotte. In short, I would say that the biggest thing is really just integrating work and life, right? Because everyone's needs, personal situation, even their professional situation is unique. And depending on what the season of life they are in, how old their kids are, there's so much that contributes to that. I would say in short, that is part of it. But I think for women, there is also some additional challenges, unfortunately, that can lead to potential biases. You know, I have a background in HR. I worked in talent development for many years. So I understand some of the systems that are in place. And certainly as you think about some of the social issues we're dealing with right across the world, inclusivity of women in the workplace and decision-making, you know, there are other challenges I think that women experience that can contribute to some of those, you know, challenges that they're dealing with both across work and life.
I teach English to foreigners and I help a lot of people to prep for interviews. And in some countries, people are still asking women if they are planning to have children.
Wow. Yeah. It's scary to think about just some of the experiences that women are having and the positions that they're being put in, right, to disclose information that could potentially impact their work experience and their opportunities, right?
Absolutely. And the surprising thing, this is in Europe as well. It's not like in, you would think, in maybe more developing countries and things like that. It's actually in Europe. And I've had quite a few women. And I find that shocking that you have to choose between one or the other, like having a family and having a career. But it seems like that is the reality for many women.
Yeah. And, you know, I think COVID probably drastically impacted that, right? I think, you know, kind of what was a catalyst for me in writing this book and kind of shifting to this topic actually was my own experience during COVID. And I feel like a lot has changed in a positive way since then, but there's still some work to be done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely an ongoing process for sure.
Yeah.
And so what would you say contributes to the stress that many working moms and obviously working homeschool moms would experience?
Yeah, I would say, again, there's a variety of things. I think as, you know, kind of build on the integrating of work and life, you know, from a professional standpoint, many times it's really trying to understand what one wants for their career and then trying to navigate that within the systems, right? The culture within the organization in which they work, if they're working with an organization versus on their own. So that's a big part of it. But then trying to integrate, and I don't like to use the word balance per se, because I don't necessarily think that that's the case that happens for many of us. But it's really about then how do we handle the responsibilities from a caregiver standpoint. And in my experience and in the research I have found, the majority of those responsibilities falls on the mom. So in part, I think some of what contributes to stress is just the gender roles, right, and expectations and the roles and responsibilities, if you will, of what happens on the home front. And that, of course, then impacts their capacity, right, to do the work effectively, to do work that feels good, right, and your ability to raise your kids and support your partner and be successful in your career. You know, there's so many contributing factors. I'm not sure what your experience has been. It was wonderful to kind of read some of your background, a lot of similarities too that I have with what your experience has been. So those are, I think, the primary things that I've seen.
Yes, absolutely. And I know the podcast is called Strike a Balance. And it's so funny because the idea of balance comes up so often when I speak to guests.
Yes.
That was, I suppose I would say, I've definitely learned a lot since I started the podcast about 3 years ago. So now for me, it's like trying to feel more balanced rather than striking
yes.
a balance.
Yes.
Obviously, it's not possible for everything to be beautifully in balance and, you know, everything having the same amount of attention or energy at the same time.
Yeah. Well, and it's subjective, right? I think the balance, the word, right, for me, it's about integrating, but I think balance is unique and it's subjective to each individual based on what's important to them, right? So I think to say, you know, using the term balance that everyone's going to experience this and feel the same is going to be unique to their circumstances.
Yes, absolutely. And that's such an important point, I think, because as someone who coaches moms who are working and homeschooling, there are so many different kind of
yes.
ways that can play out that you really have to look at each person individually, I think. And that's what's so mm-hmm. important. And then obviously, I mean, for me, it's important to give some tools that everybody can use.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, it's how you are going to feel what's important to you and how you are going to manage your day-to-day life, I think.
Absolutely.
So you said you've done some research, and I'd love to know what working moms at the moment and kind of what is their state in the workplace or in society.
Yeah. So some of the work that I do, you know, most of the work that I do is really about helping develop talent within an organization. So sometimes that is working with executive teams and getting them to operate, to set strategy. And some of it is working with teams and then individuals, right? In combination with all of that. But with that, I've also in the past, probably for the last 8 or 9 years, I've been responsible for developing women in leadership programs. And through the work that I do, naturally have started coaching women too, particularly working women who are caregivers. And with some of that work that I've done with some of my clients who are losing women in the workplace, right, for various reasons, many for that lack of integration, right? Being able to effectively integrate work and life responsibilities and maybe not advancing. You know, some of what's contributing to that, I think, are the expectations within an organization. Again, I kind of talked about the systems that are in place. If there isn't visibility into how decisions are made, if they're not looking at the data that supports what's retaining women, that can contribute to some of the challenges that, you know, organizations are experiencing. But I think in addition to that, you know, as I mentioned, COVID, I believe, has changed things in part for the better. I have historically seen that there are some key things that women want and expect from their careers and just to be happy in life. And that is having a supportive boss, having good benefits, having flexibility, and having equal pay, right? And those are all of the things that you see certainly still, you know, being focused. And I think there's still opportunities around for many organizations to focus on. But again, my lens that I typically do the research in is to support women's advancement in the workplace.
Yes, I think the idea, I've definitely noticed, like I said, I have a lot of corporate students, and the work-life balancing is definitely coming up so much more now. And in the US, is it also can people do like hybrid work now where they do like part work at home? And is that like more popular since COVID? Because obviously that helps work very much.
Absolutely. You know, in my experience, I've worked in organizations, again, for years who have offered the ability to, you know, work from home. I think it's become more common, if you will, but there's also been a lot of fluctuation. When, you know, we kind of got past COVID, I think organizations were asking people to come back to work and they had gotten too used to working from home. So you know, flexibility is, again, it's a term that is used very, you know, commonly, but it also means different things to different people. So this, to me, the policies in an organization are important, but I think at the end of the day, the leader needs to recognize what each of their team members needs based on their life experiences. So when you think about a working mom who has other responsibilities outside of work, you know, while we all need to perform at work, I think those other considerations are important.
Absolutely. So true. I know you've written a book about helping moms to prioritize themselves. So how can they learn to do that? There can be quite a lot of mindset involved in trying to prioritize yourself or learning to prioritize yourself, because often we put ourselves at the bottom of the list. So how can moms learn to prioritize themselves more?
Right. You know, the book is really about five principles to prioritize yourself. And I want to add that self-care is essential, but the five principles are really kind of a framework, if you will, for moms to consider. And the first one is about reflection. I believe, and through the work that I do, have seen that a lot of our own tendencies and how we perceive our role as moms can impact our capacity, right? And how we operate. So I think one of the first things that is really important for moms to do is to do some reflection and to think about what's on your plate. You know, when you think about roles and responsibilities, some of it is, I think we feel like only we can do it and we can do it best. So we take on that responsibility when in fact, maybe not everything we need to do and there's other people that can support us. You know, your personality styles and just your natural tendencies, I think, can play into this a little bit too. But there's also the, I think, societal norms and expectations of what a good mom looks like, right? You know, in the research that I've done and in the work that you do, I'm grateful for, because maybe someday I'd like to homeschool my son. I've got two children. My daughter's off at college, so she's probably not going to let me homeschool her at this point. But my son is 9. He's also neurodivergent. And, you know, I think that that is an option that could be available. So, you know, when it comes to prioritizing yourself, my book isn't focused on, you know, spending an hour every week by yourself, though that's important. It really is a much deeper seated kind of issue of how we operate within the systems at home and at work. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And those systems can put so much pressure on us, though. So it's really hard to kind of break out of them, like from a mindset perspective as well. I mean, because obviously you can do all these practical things to prioritize yourself, but it's the feeling that you're like, oh, you know, okay, I'm giving myself self-care, but do I really deserve it? And should I be doing it? And, you know, should I not rather be spending time with my kid? It's really, really tough.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and that's where I think you talked a lot about mindset. I do a lot of work with emotional intelligence. So I think really, you know, that gaining that self-awareness and managing yourself is really important, but also understanding kind of the bigger picture too. And understanding that, you know, in some of the people that I've worked with, and whether that be therapists or other coaches, you know, there was someone that mentioned, you know, spending 20 minutes of unstructured time with your kids, where they get to choose what you do. There's no directives that you give them. Like, that is quality time. Whereas in our minds, we might feel like I have to spend hours on end, right, doing everything with my children. And that can, so it's those beliefs, right, that we have and those stories that we tell ourselves. And that can end up, you know, putting unnecessary pressure on us as parents.
Absolutely. And it's actually, it's so strange that sometimes when, like, because obviously I'm working at home, I'm homeschooling, sometimes I feel, and my kids are home and I'm home, and sometimes I feel like I actually haven't spent any time with my kids. Because I think
that is true.
That, the connection is so powerful.
Yes.
That really, like,
yes,
eyeball to eyeball connection is incredibly powerful. And then they feel like their cups are filled up, you know, they've had the attention, and you feel like you've had a really good interaction with,
yes,
them that's really valuable and, you know, nourishing as
well. I love that. That word connection is so critical. That's a great, great point.
And then what are some practical things that moms can do to start? You did speak obviously about self-awareness. Are there any other kind of practical things that moms can do to start to prioritize themselves in a way that's obviously manageable and sustainable, because I think that's also really important, is to kind of start practices that you are going to be able to maintain in the long run.
Yeah, you know, so the reflection, right, kind of understanding where you are, thinking about possibilities, right? I part of what I talk about in my book is, I feel like many times people in general, we focus on constraints. So there's things that maybe we want to do, but we think about what's going to get in our way of achieving that. So it's important for us to, again, from a mindset standpoint, really dream and dream big, right? What are the things that we want to do and what are those aims? But then making sure that you're building in time to work toward those things. So what I find people probably don't do enough of is setting aside time to just reflect, right? To do that kind of that, create that mindset and to, you know, just think about self-care. And self-care, again, is another one of those terms that everyone is going to define differently. So what I would say in part, it's the systems that you have in place in order to prioritize yourself. So a system might be getting up 30 minutes early and exercising, and then at the end of the week, taking 30 minutes to do some reflection, to spend time with your friends, spend time with your partner. Like, it's instead we end up doing kind of one-offs, if you will, and those one-offs aren't what help sustain change. The system is what's going to help us sustain that change.
Yes, absolutely. And I also always recommend starting really small, because I think it can be so overwhelming to do a big change like that. Because 30 minutes for like a really overwhelmed working mom, working homeschool mom, can be a lot of time. And they're like, no,
that is true. Yes. And, you know, part of it too, Charlotte, I think, you know, and I talk a little bit about this in my book is, you know, the systems are one thing, but part of what we have to recognize is the barriers to executing that system. So this gets to the who we are, the how we make decisions. Who are the people in my life that maybe create some barriers for me? So if I don't want conflict with my kids or with my partner, that might prevent me from taking care of myself. So there are some hard things that we maybe need to do to prioritize ourselves. And I think sometimes we'd rather just avoid having those conversations and deal with kind of the status quo, if you will. So sometimes it's going to get a little bit more uncomfortable to get what we want, but at the end of the day, it's going to be more rewarding. And that's where we can strike that balance, I think.
Yes, that is amazing advice. It's going to be hard, but I think the more you do it, the easier it does become. But you do need to take that first difficult, uncomfortable step. The only way to make change is to take that first step. Okay, Kathy, thank you so much. This has been a wonderful chat. But before we wrap up, maybe you can share with my audience a little bit more about your book, where they can get it, and also where they can connect with you online.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity. So the book is called Moms Eat First. It's 5 principles to prioritize yourself and create the change you crave. So the book will be available in the next few weeks, and you can get more information on my website at www.talentprinciples.com. And that is principles ending in PLES.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much. And obviously I'll link all of that in the show notes. It's been wonderful to chat to you, Kathy. Thank you so much for sharing your experiences. And I know my audience is going to feel more empowered to at least start taking that small step in the right direction to prioritizing itself and to eating first. I absolutely love the title of that. It's amazing.
Thanks for your time, Charlotte. It was wonderful.
I really hope you enjoyed the episode. Please let me know what your greatest takeaway was. You can reach out to me on Instagram at charlottejones247 or on my website at mylittlehomeschool.com, or you could even drop me an email at hello@mylittlehomeschool.com. I'd be ever so grateful if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It will help spread the news about being a working homeschool mom, and in that way we can build this wonderful supportive community together. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, take care.